Hello, friends. We're going to celebrate Holy Communion at the end of our service, so get your elements, bread or juice or whatever for use later. Our scripture today comes from Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, hello, Christ Church, and all of our friends joining us today on this Labor Day weekend. I'm so glad that you're with us for online worship. If you're on Facebook or the website, say hello to other friends in the comments section. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, send those to us. We want to be praying with you. If you want to follow along with my outline, you can do that on the website or the Christ Church app. Today, we are concluding this message series titled Perspective. Over the last 3 weeks, we've looked at highlight passages from each chapter in the book of Philippians, and we've seen that Paul's relationship with Jesus enabled him to have a unique perspective. Remember, he had planned to come to Rome as a preacher, but instead he was in Rome as a prisoner, chained to a different Roman soldier every day. He wasn't preaching to large crowds. Instead, he was sharing with his captors and writing letters to his churches. It's not what he had planned. But that prison time led to the letters of spiritual insight and revelation that we and countless billions of people have read. So remember this. Often God's plan unfolds differently than our plans. So in the first week, we were encouraged to remember, in light of Paul's story, that in the face of hardships, Jesus enables you to have a hopeful perspective. Paul knew that if Christ was dead but now is alive, there is always hope. There's always hope, both now and in the end. And in week two, we saw Paul lifting up Jesus' servant attitude. He was one who came not to be served, but to serve. And that when we choose to do the same thing, living Jesus' servant lifestyle, well, that brings us great satisfaction and joy. Serving unlocks the door to our joy. Last week, we saw that following Jesus also gives us a different outlook. We realize that because of Christ, things look different. We see people differently, and the objects of this world also lose their appeal. But we press on toward the things of Christ and His kingdom. These are of greatest value. Today, from Philippians chapter 4, I want to talk about another practical part of life. And let me say this right away. We're going to see that life in Christ gives us a different perspective on worry. Post worry in the chat. We're going to see that because of what God has done, we can think differently. We can have a mind shift when it comes to worry. Now, let's be honest. All of us are tempted at one point or another to worry. Some worry about the economy. Others worry about their finances. Some worry about the stability of their jobs. Others are consumed about not getting left behind. I got to keep up with the others. Some worry about their health. Others worry about relationships. Some worry about making the team. Others worry about getting good grades. Most people with kids at one time or another worry about their children. And the list goes on and on. I used to be a chronic worrier, and I had to really make a prayerful journey to ask God to help me to overcome my bent toward worrying. And I made so much progress. I thought I was doing pretty good at one point until I woke up one day and I realized, hey, I got three teenage girls driving, and all of a sudden my worry meter spiked again. We all have our own journeys with worry, but what I want to do today is show from the book of Philippians a key thought, and it's this. Worry is a matter of perspective. Worry is a matter of perspective. If there was anyone who had a reason to worry, it was the Apostle Paul. He was under house arrest, awaiting what could be a sentence that would condemn him to death. And yet Paul had great hope in the midst of his circumstances. And so he writes in Philippians 4:5, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." We've seen this theme throughout this letter. Paul's intimacy with Christ is so apparent here. He goes on, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." When we know the Lord as Paul does, he's going to show us that we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. In fact, he teaches us this. We don't have to worry when we know who's in charge. We don't have to worry when we know who's in charge. Paul launched churches throughout his ministry. And as a pastor, he was always concerned about those churches. But he also knew who was in control. 10 years ago or so, during our Raise the Roof capital campaign, I realized something about our church. We have 9 different roofs on our facility. You know what that means? Probably 9 different building campaigns. Now, I went through 3 different building campaigns in 13 years at St. Andrews in Oklahoma City, but 9 campaigns? And I know that Dr. Pearson provided leadership for many of them. So here's what we pastors learn about leading churches. We can't do it in our own strength. We have to learn to turn it over to Him. Paul learned that. He writes in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Do not be anxious about what? Anything. But in how much? Everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And here's the amazing promise, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Don't be anxious about anything. Pray about everything. Some of you, that's what you need to hear today. Whatever it is that you're worrying about, you can turn that worry over. Some of you need to make a God box. Make a God box and just take your worries and give them over to God. Put them in the box and don't take them back out again. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Now, that doesn't mean you don't do anything. I mean, if you can do something about it, you do it. I like to say it this way. I will do what I can do and trust God to do what I cannot. If I can do something about it, I will. But when there's nothing else I can do, I have to turn it over to God. So when someone is sick, what can we do? Well, we can pray and we can care for them and we trust their healing to the Lord. If a marriage is struggling, what can we do? Can we change our spouse? We can't change our spouse, but God can. So we pray and we love and we lift our marriage to the Lord. Can we protect our kids from all the dangers of the world? No, we can't. But we can pray for them and love them and give our worries about them to the Lord. Can you ensure that you're never going to get laid off or never have a financial hiccup? No. So what can you do? Well, you can live beneath your means. You can honor God with the tithe, and then you can trust the rest of it to God. What about the future? Can you control that? I know many people are worrying in the midst of this time of rising prices and this ugly political climate. What can we do? Well, we can pray. We can be careful about our spending. We can share our views. We can vote. And then we trust the rest of it to God. And what about the future of our church? We've been through a difficult process of prayer, conversation, and discernment that has not been easy. I have felt the weight of it. We all have. We've tried to love one another and be respectful to one another. The congregation voted. There wasn't 100% agreement. only 76.2%. And now people are being asked what they will do. It's a painful time. I have a lot of grief and heartache when people let me know they feel they need to leave. What can we do? Well, we can pray. We can continue to love and care for one another. And as far as it's possible, we live at peace with everyone. And then we just turn the rest of it over to God. Now, that's easier said than done. But we keep trying to do it. And we trust that that peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will come and guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Now that is a whole new perspective. Not an easy or automatic perspective, but we need it. And God has it for us. And I'm seeking it day by day. I'll do what I can do and trust God to do what I cannot do. And then Paul helps us focus our thoughts when he says in Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things." That's how you keep from worrying. Focus on the good things, the God things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Just do it, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul has seen a lot, but he knows that we don't have to worry when we know who's in charge, when we know where our peace comes from. Paul has learned what we can learn. Knowing God gives you a whole new perspective on worry. So, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen? And of course, this peace, this new perspective on life, this new outlook is possible because of what God has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So, today is an act of praise and remembrance. We are celebrating Holy Communion. Get your elements, bread and juice, or whatever you plan to use. John Wesley believed that Holy Communion, like prayer, study, and fasting, was a means of grace. That remembering Christ's sacrifice and receiving the elements of bread and juice is a means of a special connection or experience of God's grace. Before we come to the table, remember, we examine our hearts and we acknowledge our sin and our need of forgiveness. So let me share this prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We've not done your will. We've broken your law. We've rebelled against your love. We've not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. So hear this. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Well, on the night that he gave himself up for us, we remember that Jesus gathered with his disciples. He took bread, he gave thanks, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Jesus was pointing to the forgiveness he was about to win for us on the cross. He would offer himself as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Because of his holy sacrifice, God extends forgiveness to us and calls us to forgive others also. Forgiveness and freedom from worry are two gifts we Christ followers can celebrate every day of our lives. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, Lord, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Share it with me if you know it. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. So you may take your bread now. Be reminded, this is the body of Christ broken for you. And now take your juice. This is the blood of Christ poured out for you. Amen. Well, listen, friends, in gratitude, we have remembered and celebrated the great victory that Jesus Christ won on the cross for you and me. During that Last Supper, Jesus initiated a new sacrament, a sacred act of remembrance. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You are forgiven. You are free from guilt and shame and condemnation. Be filled with joy and gratitude again today because of everything God has done for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, if you got prayer requests, send those to us. If you want to leave a gift online, you can do that anytime. Thank you for your generosity. And remember this, life in Christ gives us a different perspective on many things, even worry. We don't have to worry when we know who's in charge. For now, what's one worry that you have that you can turn over to Jesus?
A question.
Okay.
Is stealing someone's coffee cup a mugging?
Dr. Wade Pascal is leading a 10-week Bible study on the Gospel of John. Dr. Pascal serves as a senior pastor of First Methodist Church in Tulsa for many years and taught at Asbury Seminary. Sign up online or at the Connect Center to be a part of this life-impacting study of the main themes of John's Gospel.
Save the date for Float the Park. Join us for an amazing root beer float extravaganza at the picturesque La Fortune Park on Sunday, September 10th. We're absolutely delighted to share that we've reserved the Southwest Shelter where the festivities will take place from 2 to 3:30 p.m.
Remember First Wednesday? Summer is over and First Wednesday's back. Join us at 5:30 p.m. for a delicious meal. After worship, we'll hear from Carly McNeil from the Tulsa chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. We'll see you September 6th, First Wednesday, a meal, a mission, a message.
You can find all this information and more on our website, cumctulsa.com.